Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life. This is my podcast. I'm your host, Joe Cole. Today on the podcast, well, we have something a little different. We have a millennial phone call medley. I've never done phone interviews before because I think that this type of show benefits from face-to-face conversation. However, geography permits me from talking to all of the people that I'd like to have on the show. So I figured, why not have an episode where I call a few of my friends up and talk to them on the phone for a few minutes and put some of them together. So that is what you are about to hear in a second or a few minutes. Before I get started, I want to remind my listeners or subscribers of the show, if you have not left a review or rating on iTunes and enjoy the show, please do that. I would very much appreciate it. But anyway, what do I want to talk about today? You know, people who know me are aware of my deep, deep love of movies and television and the entertainment industry in general. I was a film major in college, which I decided to declare because at some point in high school I had this sudden burst of an interest in the film industry and current movies being made and the directors who made them and the actors who inhabited the screen. And I took an interest in film history. I wanted to learn about all the films of the past and the people involved in creating them. And that coincided with some video production classes that I took that instilled in me a curiosity of how the movies that I loved that seemed like magic to me were actually constructed. And then my senior year of high school, I saw The Social Network, and that was a game changer for me. I was like, wow, okay, this is what movies could be. So I've said to some of my friends before, and maybe I've said it on the podcast before, I really am doing myself a disservice for not having an entertainment industry-themed podcast, because it is what I know the most about. However, when thinking of wanting to make a podcast, the idea of That Millennial Life is what I found to be compelling at the time. I thought it would be more universal, and something I've learned about when creating something is let the creation be inspired by your experience. So I think that this show is a reflection of where I'm currently at. So I've been reluctant to talk about movies too much in television because that's not what the show is. However, since this show is not just a reflection of other millennials' lives, but my life as well, and because movies and television are an important part of my life, maybe it's okay to talk about it every now and again when I think there's something worth talking about. And obviously the dream would be to be able to eventually have some of the millennials who are doing notable things in Hollywood be on the show, and I understand I'm reaching here, but I want to be honest on this podcast, and I would be lying if I said that I haven't made a dream guest list, not all of which are millennials in Hollywood, but, you know, some of the ones that are people like, you know, Pete Davidson, who was the first SNL cast member born in the 1990s. Bo Burnham, a creative hero of mine, and is only 25. Gerard Carmichael. Ella Coltrane from Boyhood. Jennifer Lawrence. Yes, I understand. Ridiculous, but that's why they're dream guests. But anyway, a reason I want to talk about all this is because this Sunday, the Oscars are taking place, and I enjoy the Oscars. I've watched them each year for the past few years, which my roommates loved. I'm not gonna lie, it's a bit of a guilty pleasure to be able to, you know, see all of the most influential people in film for that year all in the same room. You know, I don't think there's anything better than a good acceptance speech when it's not surface level and it really says something. Jamie Foxx's when he won for Ray, Robin Williams when he won for Good Will Hunting. You haven't seen those, check those out. Daniel Day-Lewis's, well, the one I'm thinking of was during the SAG Awards, but he dedicated his award to Heath Ledger and praised his abilities. But anyway, I'll be watching the Oscars this year, rooting for Leo. He's my guy. And when I say he's my guy, don't take that lightly. My friends know he is and has been my favorite actor and was an inspiration for me to try to pursue acting. I don't think there's anyone better at accessing authenticity, emotional depth. He can be subtle but completely vulnerable at the same time. If you want a masterclass in acting, watch the scene in Shutter Island in the lighthouse after the flashback, when he realizes and admits to everything. Incredible. But yeah, he should win this year. He's already won the Golden Globe, the Critics' Choice, the SAG, and the BAFTA, which is the British Academy Award, which are all the usual precursors for the Oscars. So if he doesn't win, it'll be the biggest upset of the year, and I will be the most upset I have been in several years. But I wanted to talk about this whole Oscars so white controversy. And I know people are probably tired about it by now, and some people probably don't even care. So if you don't, just fast forward to my phone conversations. They're great. I haven't talked about it about this because, one, that's not what the show is. But also I realize that I am a fortunate white 22-year-old who grew up in a middle class home who shouldn't complain about anything. However, although it was upsetting that there were not acting nominees of color, it rubbed me the wrong way for some people to speak out in complete defiance of the Academy once that happened. Okay. Tiptoeing through this. I agree with some of the sentiments offered by the likes of people like Lawrence Fishburne and Viola Davis that said that the result comes from a much more systemic problem with all of Hollywood. Yes, 94% of the Academy is made up of white people. That's not good. 73% are men. Also not good. And several African-American actors have successfully utilized the issue of there being all-white nominees to enact change. Next year, the Academy will double the amount of people of color, which is a result from all of the controversy, so it's working. However, it seems opportunistic to speak out about the problem as a result of all the controversy when it has been a problem for years, all because it's a result of, and as I said before, a much more systemic problem. A systemic problem that coincides with all other institutional racism in many other sectors or whatever facets of our country. Studios decide what movies are going to be made. You know who owns the studios? Corporations. You know who's at the top of those corporations? White men. Universal Studios, owned by Comcast. Universal CEO, Ronald Meyer, white male. CEO of Comcast, Brian Roberts, white male. Walt Disney Studios CEO, Bob Iger, white male. Paramount Pictures, owned by Viacom. Viacom CEO, Philippe Dumont, sounds French, but also white male. Paramount Pictures CEO, Brad Gray, white male. Warner Brothers CEO, Kevin Tsujihara, Japanese. Okay. Making progress. Owned by Time Warner. CEO. Robert Marcus. White male. But anyway, in recent years, studios now make less movies per year than they did years ago. You know, studios put all the money they have into only a few films to try to make them big and beautiful. And instead of financing more films of smaller budgets and smaller scales. In 1930, Paramount made 64 movies. In 2015, they made 14, only two of which had African American actors in the lead roles. Craig Robinson in Hot Tub Time Machine 2 and David Oyelowo in Captive. Material of a higher quality is often unfairly not offered to actors and filmmakers of color. That's an issue too. There needs to be more material that is nurtured, that is a good product, or could potentially be a good product for minorities. So with the small amount of movies that each studio makes per year, studio heads think, oh, we need to make these relatable to as much of the population as possible to make sure that people go and see them. 63% of America is made up of white people. So they finance and distribute maybe one or two African-American-dominated films a year. Less actors of colors are going to be nominated because there are less actors of colors acting in major studio movies. Yes, they are unfairly given less opportunity. I am obviously not agreeing with this system. I would love more movies with minorities. That means different types of movies that haven't been made before. You know, a lot of movies are the same old thing over and over again. I think television is doing a great job with this. Alan Yang, who was the co-creator of Master of None with Aziz Ansari, said in a recent acceptance speech, "Thanks to white men for killing it for so many years, that now any show not with a white male as the central character seems unique and interesting." And it's true. I think stories that haven't been told before about all different types of people should be made. It would make for better movies. But to boycott the Oscars and to ask for more non-whites to make up the Academy seems counterintuitive when they still will be voting on films that are dominated by white actors. People should be boycotting the studios, not the Academy. I mean, I saw Straight Outta Compton. It was good. It was really good. The performances were great, especially the actor who played Eazy-E. It was great, but was it Best Picture worthy? I don't know. I don't know if it was as good as the other movies. Michael B. Jordan. People said maybe he should have been nominated for Best Actor for Creed. I don't think so. I don't think he was. Will Smith. Yeah, good accent. Didn't actually see the movie. I don't know. But from what I heard, the movie was eh. It was okay. It was good, but wasn't great. Idris Elba, Beast of No Nations, definitely should have been nominated. That was the one I was like, whoa, that movie and his performance. But it was a Netflix movie. Maybe people are still trying to figure out that whole deal. Is a Netflix movie, could that even be nominated? Would that be considered a TV movie? Other things on Netflix are nominated for Emmys, so should that be nominated for the Emmys, for a television movie? I don't know. Maybe that's what made him not be nominated. And then there's people like Tyrese Gibson, who said that Chris Rock should step down as the Oscars host because of there being no black actor nominees or no acting nominees of color. Are you kidding? Who would be better at addressing this more than Chris Rock? Let the man talk. Let the man be able to start a dialogue. Maybe something will actually come of it. But I really hope Leo wins. Okay, that was a lot. That was a lot. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about movies for a while. Even I'm tired of it now. Okay, I'm going to try to call some of my friends. Let's see, who should I call? Okay, I'm going to call my brother just to see if this whole phone thing works, and if you can hear people. All right, I'm gonna call my brother, Ben Cole.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
What's up, Poppy?
Can you say, like, hi, my name is Ben Cole, and I have a big head, or something?
hi, my name is Ben Cole, I have a big head. My brother Joe does podcast. He has a small head.
Which head are you talking about?
Would you like fries with that?
What? All right, that's good. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Okay, so speaking of the film industry, I have a friend, an ex-roommate named Ben Saad, who lives in L.A., made the move out to L.A. pretty much soon after he graduated, and I don't really get to talk to him that much. I should. I'm probably going to go out there soon to visit him, I hope. But maybe I should give him a call to see how he's doing out west.
Yeah, what's up? I was on the phone with my parents.
It's okay. Are you cool to talk now?
Yeah, Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm live.
Yeah, you're live.
Rolling.
Yeah. How you doing? How's LA life?
It's a nice sunny 71, but I guess back home it's pretty warm too, no?
Yeah, it's about like 50 here, but it's been off and on. It's weird. Global warming is a thing.
Very good thing right now.
Right now, not 15 years from now.
Do you edit these just out of curiosity, or is this just one take? You go for it.
I mean, I don't know. I just figure it out. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I've never done a phoner before. You're my first phoner.
Your first time will be gentle, I promise.
Yeah. Okay, so you're from Massachusetts, and not soon after graduating college, you decided to uproot and move across the country to Los Angeles. Do you mind sharing why you decided to do that?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, graduation was just around the corner, and, you know, kind of hit me that, you know, everyone's starting to look for jobs. I needed to do that. And my two options that I was faced with all of a sudden was, you know, go back to where I was from and grew up with, and, you know, kind of sick of the same old scene, or do something else. And I didn't really know, you know, what that something else would be. And so I started looking around for internships and jobs, because I, you know, went to London the summer before when everyone got internships, so I was already a step behind. And then through a friend of a friend, I got offered, you know, a really cool opportunity to come out here and be an intern at a record label. Ironically, it was called Sleeping Giant Records, which is the mountain that we used to hike in college.
Yeah, the mountain, the Sleeping Giant State Park is right next to Quinnipiac, the school we went to. Yeah, that is. I don't think I knew that.
But part of me took that as like a cool, you know, cool sign, like maybe I should just do this. But, you know, right when I heard the opportunity, I was like, you know, everyone talks about, you know, moving out to California for whatever amount of time, like, why not just do it? Like, now's the perfect time. I had nothing holding me back, and so, you know, I didn't really think about it for about 3 months. I just said, I'm going to do it, and I did it, and I moved out, and I stayed on Kev Carroll's couch, another friend of ours. I don't know if you've ever interviewed him.
But, no, but I've definitely talked about him, and he's coming on soon.
Yeah. Huge, huge monumental step letting me stay on his floor for a few months. Because without it, you know, it's been pretty difficult, but, you know, I decided to take that opportunity, and I've been out here since.
Yeah, so I've talked about this before. A lot of the negative feelings I had about post-college had to do with the complete lifestyle change of being at school and having no one to answer to, and then having to come back to my childhood home that I lived in before college, you know, having to deal with my parents and having to deal with this weird dilemma of knowing that it's in my best interest financially to stay at home, but also having these weird feelings of not deserving the lifestyle that I'm living based on what I'm doing with my everyday life. Like having the amenities of like a nice home, of like nice home cooked meals, having a flat screen in my room, things that make me comfortable. And sometimes I think that I should just be living in a shitty studio apartment, eating ramen for every meal, because, you know, that would make me more eager to work hard for a secure future. But you had a different situation where you left your childhood home pretty immediately after college. So if you had any negative feelings or struggles in regards to post-college and the lifestyle change, what were those?
Well, I think, you know, I was in the same boat as you, Joe, where, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe if I'm, you know, I'm out here and I'm in a shitty studio apartment, which is currently the case, you know, living off every dollar that I make, just making ends meet, then, you know, I'm going to be a lot more motivated to work my ass off and really, you know, go out there and tackle every day. But what I found is, you know, it's not the biggest motivator. You know, the money is not the biggest motivator. Because, you know, right now, since I left the internship, I decided to pursue a career in advertising. Figured I'd give that a go, see what that's about. And, you know, it's really not the biggest, the money is not the biggest influencer, you know?
Yeah. So now you're staying there for a bit and you're good, How are things now there? Are you, like, kind of settling in?
My job or in Los Angeles?
Both.
So my job, no. I think I'm jumping ship on that again. And, you know, it's been my general philosophy out here is, you know, I have this 1 year. I can do whatever I want. You know, I'm not focused on the same, you know, resume building and LinkedIn profiles, things that I feel like everyone else is, you know, dead set on. You know, I've given it 6 months and I really don't love it. And I have, you know, sort of the world at my feet, and I can do whatever I want in this 12-month period after college and really find out what it is that piques my interest and, you know, pushes me to work harder and be better than everyone else at. So I think, you know, after my next month, I've reached the 6-month mark, and I've already told them, you know, I'm going to start looking somewhere else. In terms of, and who knows, you know, it's probably going to be entertainment business of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of settling in, you know, it's definitely a hard adjustment, really hard adjustment. It's a very different culture in the East Coast, very spread out geographically. You know, even your friends that you know around here are, you know, 30, 40 minutes away without traffic, and that's considered still Los Angeles.
The worst traffic in the world.
Yeah, so I went to the other side of California, or Los Angeles, yesterday to meet up with a friend, and it's a 30-minute drive, no traffic, and I was sitting in traffic for 2 hours.
Jesus.
Trying to get there. It was brutal, yeah. And I left at 3:30 to beat the traffic.
Wow.
Yeah, but in terms of settling in, you know, I'm settled. I've got a studio apartment with all the amenities that I need. You know, I'm not living lavishly by any means. But I think it's that uncomfortability of, you know, not knowing what I'm going to do next, and, you know, not living comfortably in a, you know, luxury home that, you know, kind of pushes me to really find what I love, so that I can make sure to, you know, work harder and smarter at the things that I want to do.
Well, Benjamin, I think you'll be able to figure it out over there. Got a good head on you, and I wish you the best of luck, and I'm gonna try to come out there soon, like we talked about. I gotta for a visit.
And you spot on my blow up mattress, or we can share the bed too,
As long as you get to what?
I get to be a little spoon.
Oh. Yeah, I think that would behoove our body sizes.
Yeah, I think that would work perfectly.
All right, Benny. I'll,
right,
thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Peace, man. Okay, that was Ben Saad. Hope you enjoyed that. He was breaking up a little, but I don't think we're going to run into that problem for the rest of the calls. I think maybe it was because he was across the country. So I'm sorry if you couldn't hear some of that, but I'm glad that he's doing well out there. I think that's admirable that he didn't let the fear of the unknown prevent him from just moving out there and trying to have what he wants to do come to him, rather than stressing about it. He's giving himself the leeway to figure out what it is that he's passionate for, and I wish him the best of luck. Maybe I should go out there and do the same and struggle with him. But who should we... Oh, my friend Brielle Kievit. She's from my hometown, Pequannock. She's in the grade below me, so she's still in college right now. The other day, I saw her tweet something that startled me a bit. She seemed to be a little stressed. I hope she's doing okay now. Brielle is probably my best female friend. So I care about how she's doing, so let's give her a call and see if she's less stressed now.
Hello?
Hey, B.
Hi, honey.
What's up?
Oh, nothing. Just lying in bed right now. What about you?
I'm talking to you for the podcast.
How was your day?
It was all right. I kind of just sat around, did some work on the computer for some acting stuff. How was yours?
Oh, so exciting. It was good. Just blah. It's nice out today, so I just hung out outside for a little.
Yeah, it is nice. It's weird.
I know, it's really weird.
So I want to talk to you about one of your recent tweets was, I really, really, with a lot of L's, just need this week from hell to be over because my stress level is through the roof and I want to die. What was that about? What was so stressful?
I just have a lot going on with school and with class-wise and getting my hours in for teaching, my observation hours, plus, like, all the stuff I have to do. I taught my first lesson this week in, like, the real classroom, so I had to make my lesson plan, I prepare for all that, get everything all together, and try to make it perfect. So it was just really stressful, and I felt like I didn't have a second to breathe.
Did you finish, though? Is everything good now?
Yeah, no, I finished everything. I did the lesson on Thursday. So once that was over with on Thursday, I finally felt like I could breathe again. But it was just an exhausting week.
Yeah. I feel like second semester or last semester of college, last semester of senior year, you're going to have a lot of those.
I know. It's really just kind of all catching up to me at once. But I'm trying not to make the stress make me rush it because it's my last semester of college, and I know I'm going to look back and miss it, but right now it's kind of hard not to wish the days were over because I just feel like they're so long.
Yeah. So I tweeted something the last week of college that I had, like the last week of the last semester. I tweeted, I've never wanted a week to both end and not end so badly.
Exactly, that's the thing. Like, it was Monday, and I'm like, wow, I can't wait for this week to be over. Like, I want it to be the weekend. I want this week to be done with. But then when the weekend's here, it's like, wow, that was one whole week. Now I'm one whole week closer to graduating and actually being in the real world, which is a lot much more stressful than this week of college. So
yes,
it's like mixed feelings.
Yeah, a lot of the people I normally talk to are finished with college, and a lot of the other people I'm going to talk to today are out of college, so I'm glad I'm talking to you. You're, like you said, you're in your last semester of college before graduating. Are you freaking out? Do you think about it a lot, or are you just trying to enjoy it?
I'm kind of freaking out because, ironically, I've been talking to a lot of people who are teachers now or who graduated with an education degree and were trying to be teachers,
mm-hmm.
and they've been kind of freaking me out lately about how hard it is to get a job and
why? What did they say?
Well, I don't know. I think I'll be okay because I want to be a math teacher, but people have just been freaking me out that it's super hard to get a job in the education field. So that's something I'm just nervous about, is that I'm going to be doing all this work and then graduating and not being able to get a job for however long. So
yeah. Are you looking?
It's definitely stressful.
Are you, how do you feel about moving? Are you going to move back home, Pequannock? How do you feel about having to do that?
So I'm definitely going to move back home. I think that that's what's best for me right now. I don't think that I could. I love college and all, but I just can't wait to be back home. And I think that until I get a job and until I'm settled in and financially stable, that I'm going to have to live at home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that I get the opportunity to get a job at home. But, I mean, who knows? I can't really plan for the future, so we'll see how things turn out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird because at the end of college, for me, you get, like, a lot of people saying, go out every night, like, enjoy every minute. And then there's people who are like, yeah, but you also have to make sure you have your post-college secure and you know what you're doing. So,
Yeah, no, 100%. I have a lot of friends that graduated last year, and they're saying, make sure you go out every opportunity you have. Like, go out, have fun. Like, you're going to regret this if you don't go out all the time, but as much as I want to go out and have fun, I also have to graduate and I have to get my work done. So, I mean, I have my friends, and if I'm with my friends, I'm having fun with my friends, whether it's out or just hanging out with my roommates. I think that'll suffice. In the meantime, I'm getting all my work done and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one to talk because I definitely didn't go out enough at the end of college because I was in this headspace of just being done with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, make sure you have, like, legitimate conversations with people that you admire and that you like and that you're going to miss, and, like, talk to them, not just, like, party and have, like, surface-level bar conversations with them and see them. Like, make sure you take the time to actually, like, have...
No, I completely agree. Like, my priority right now is to get my work done, but also spend time with the people that I'm close with. I'd rather sit at home with a couple of my friends and be able to spend time with them while I can, then be out and about at bars or whatever with people that I'm probably never going to speak to again after college.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about balance and kind of figuring out what matters. And as much as you want to have fun, you can still have fun without having to go out 5 out of 7 days of the week. And as long as you know how to balance your schoolwork and your social life, then I think you're set.
Well, B, I think you're set. I think you'll be fine. Make sure you're not a stranger. If you're stressed out again throughout the semester, text me, because I like hearing from you.
I know, I definitely will. It's a lot to handle, and as much as I want to keep in touch with everyone, it's just hard because I feel like I'm so stressed all the time, and then when I get the second to Rio Acts, I kind of just don't want to talk to anyone, but I think I have to get out of that habit.
No, I understand that, for sure. Like, the moment you have free, you're just like, couch, where are you?
I know.
Oh, my phone is about to die. But, all right, B, thanks a lot. I love you. I miss you. I hope I talk to you soon.
Okay, I love you and I miss you more, and I'll definitely talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, babe.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, that was Brielle Hevet. I miss her. I hope she has a less stressful rest of the semester. That's a tongue twister. Maybe it's not. Maybe I just can't speak. Okay, so next, I'm going to call a friend of mine who was in my fraternity, Greg Hayes. Greg Hayes was in the graduating class before mine, probably, besides Kevin Carroll, who I've talked about, the funniest person I met at college. Hilarious. Could make me laugh on a dime. Snapchat connoisseur. Very funny, creative person. He's living up in Boston. I haven't talked to him in a while, so let me give him a call to see how he is. I think he just texted me saying he was on a date, so maybe we can ask him how that went. All right.
Hello?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Joe?
Can you hear me?
I can.
I can hear you very well. How are you?
What's going on? I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I miss you, man.
I miss you, too. What's it been now?
Oh, dude.
Been a year and change?
Yeah,
a year
and change. Have I seen you since post-college? Or since you graduated? I don't think so.
You might have seen my corpse a couple times at the alumni weekend, but I don't think we've seen face-to-face.
You definitely came back my senior year for alumni weekend.
Yeah, my body was there.
So you just spent some time with a woman. How was that? What'd you do? You can be as non-specific as you want.
No, it was great, actually. It's weird. Once you graduate, you figure out that not all girls just drink a ton and kind of just make out with whoever. You kind of have to take them out. So I've been experimenting. Yeah, it's weird, man. Like you have to actually. I've been experimenting with dating, like taking girls out on dates.
What are those?
Like, I honestly don't know. It's like I graduated, and someone's like, "Yeah, you gotta do dates now.
You gotta bring them to a place and pay for things."
I was like, "Wait, so you're telling me I can't just buy this girl a shot, and that's it? That's like, I gotta actually, I don't know." But yeah, so yeah, it was good. We went out. I took her out into the aquarium. That was fun. Really, surprisingly, a really good place for a date.
That is a very unique but cool date, it would seem like.
Yeah, it was. But it was really weird. I shit you not. We went to the aquarium, and then I took her to get sushi.
Oh, that's a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I was really in the mood for sushi after we left. But
do you think it would have been better if you ate sushi before or if you ate sushi after?
I'd probably say before.
Yeah.
Actually, fuck, I don't know, because then I'd go in and feel all guilty.
Yeah. Either way, it's not a good situation.
Yeah, would be looking at me like, I know what you just did, yeah.
So you're up in Boston, right?
Yeah, I am.
You're not with family, though, right? You're out on your own?
No, yeah, I'm out on my own. I actually live with my brother, so technically I am still with family.
Oh, yeah. Does that make you feel like you have the world? The world is at the edge of your fingertips, and you have life by the balls, being an independent young person living in a in a big city, or do you ever have thoughts of what the fuck am I doing? I need my mommy.
Definitely there's some Sundays where I go, what the fuck am I doing? I need my mommy. Yeah, especially when you just wake up and you're a little rattled from the night before. And like, I get the Sunday scaries very badly now in the working world.
What is the Sunday? What are the Sunday scaries?
Oh my God. So it's like, you get out of work Friday, you're all fired up. You're like, let's go. And you have everything planned or whatever. And you've been looking forward to the whole week. And you go out and it ends and you end up just tired and with a hangover. And then you kind of just stare at the wall for a while, like from 7 p.m. to like 12 at night. And you're just like, here we go. Like,
oh, did you say like, Sunday staries, not scaries?
As no, in scary. I said scaries, but they're staring at Paul.
Oh.
Just right at the fucking wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's good, though. I definitely feel independent, but it's nice to be somewhat near home, so if I ever need to retreat.
Yeah, how far away are you?
I'd say probably, like, no traffic. I live in New Hampshire, it's probably, like, 15 minutes to an hour.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, not too shabby.
So, how has post-college in general been for you? Because I know you were someone who had some fun in college, so is the lifestyle change hard, or are you still... It sounds like you're still finding ways to have some fun, still.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, college was like... a different period, because you think about it, you literally have no responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, like, you go to class, and you kind of... I half-assed a couple classes.
Yeah.
Like, this is stupid.
As we all do.
Yeah, as we all do. And then it's like, the biggest adjustment for me was not going out during the week, like the Thirsty Thursdays and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I had to retire from those. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, oh my God, dude. Like, it's not like you wake up Friday and you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to go to work today.
Yeah. There's the day when you're at college, you could be like, yeah, I'm just going to nap and skip this class. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, not at all. And then, like, they're like, oh, only two absences. And then you're like, that's the bullshit. I skipped so many classes more than twice and never heard anything. But, yeah, you can't just skip work. So I remember the dark Friday. I was just, it was a night I went out. This is the day after. I retired now after this. I was so hungover.
This is what put the nail in the coffin for you.
No, it's done. It's over. Like, it's too late. Yo, go grab a drink. I'm like, you can go and fuck yourself out. Like, not even going at all anymore. I went into the bathroom, and I laid down in stall.
Oh, no.
For probably 5-10 minutes. Took a little, like breather.
Greg, what are you doing in there?
Oh, I'm just taking a huge shit, boss. I'll be back.
Oh God,
that's hilarious. Yeah, I'm retired from that. But yeah, it's you can. There's still plenty of ways to have fun. I mean, just different. It's different ways now, you know.
Yeah, especially being in Boston. What is you think you want to stay in the city for a while or?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna live in Boston for a couple more years, but I'm definitely open to moving around. That's the best part. As you build your professional career, you're just like, what if I want to go to San Francisco for a year?
Yeah.
Like you can, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can do whatever you want. So it's like if you start building it, building up your resume, you can kind of ship off to wherever you want. It's the part I like too.
So what work are you doing? What are you doing?
So I'm working at an ad agency, and I'm doing digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, mostly, I should say, building out like social media ads, so like annoying you on Facebook, Twitter, and all other forms of media you use.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's me.
You're that guy?
Yeah, I'm that guy who's like, you're going through your feed looking at shit, and it's like, hey, buy this fucking toothpaste.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So have you found it to be monotonous? Are you do you like the work you're doing? How is the workplace setting like? Because I talked to Charlie a while ago, and he was saying how that the workplace is not like the cold and lonely place that you thought it would be, or that he thought it would be, and that there are people there who can challenge him and people there he can get along with and have fun with. Do you find the people there that are do you find that they're interesting? Do you find the work interesting, or are you compelled to want to do something else? Because you're a creative person, you're a funny guy. Do you ever think, like, I should be doing something more?
I definitely, like, the place I'm working at is, like, the environment is, like, incredible. Like, it's almost, like, kind of like a college, like, campus setup, like a student center almost work.
Wow.
It's an ad agency, so it's, like, it's very low-key. There's, like, people sometimes just sitting on, like, bean bags, like, doing work, or, like, you can literally go grab a beer from the fridge at any time. Like, yeah. It's just, like, so relaxed. And it's definitely different than I thought, because I was like, this is it. Like, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to wear a suit and tie, and I'm going to get chained to this desk because I do monkey work. But it's not like that at all. I definitely, like, enjoy the atmosphere so much. But in terms of, like, what I'm doing, I mean, I think about that every day. I'm like, is this, like, what I'm meant to do? But it's like I'm so young in my career that I feel like I'm still figuring it out, you know what I mean? Almost, it's like stepping stones.
Yeah, you got time.
I say I got time, then I'm like 35, and I got three kids just shouting at me, they have crap in their diaper.
Yeah, dude, about the workplace, I guess the whole work hard, play hard, like kind of relaxed type of thing has become more prominent for like the corporate world or for like work. Like ping pong tables in the fucking office and shit like that. I guess people have become more relaxed.
Well, yeah, that's definitely because like the generations have changed. Where it's like we were raised differently than like our parents and their parents. And yeah. It's like my grandpa's like they're like okay, 18 works in a fucking steel mill for like 60 years, then retired. Like, you know what I mean? He didn't think once in his mind, I shouldn't be working in the steel mill. He was like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it for 60 years.
Yeah, every day he's going to hang up the hard hat and just, you know,
yeah,
wipe his face off.
Yeah, wipe your face off, go home with your family, and just go, one more day down.
Jesus.
750,000 to go.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it's just different now. I mean, I'm on my second job already.
Oh yeah. How long have you been working at this one?
I've been at this one for about 6-7 months, and my last one I was at for a year. And I just didn't like the way the last. Like, I just kind of wanted to change. Like, I wanted to go for a place where I thought there was more room for growth for me, and I just went to another job.
Wow.
So it's definitely different in terms of you like. I feel like our generation cares more about making the most of their time doing work and, like, making sure they enjoy it.
Yeah,
so
for
it's
sure.
It's definitely a little different.
Yeah, we don't care about packing up the bags and moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But, well, hopefully soon I can pack my bags up and head up to Boston. We can get you on the podcast for real for a long one if that's something you might be interested in.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be phenomenal, my man.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you doing this. I hope I get to see you soon.
Of course, my man.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you.
I'll talk to you too.
All right, man.
Ciao for now.
Peace. All right, that was Greg Hayes. Hilarious, right? All right. Thank you, Greg. My friend Hannah Russell, one of my best female friends at college. I've been wanting to have her on the podcast for a while. She lives in Cape Cod and is a nurse up there. So let me see if I can get her on the phone to talk about maybe some cool nurse stories. I don't know. I'm gonna give her a call.
Hannah, I can't get to the phone right now, but if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
Yep. Okay, she didn't answer. Maybe I'll try to give her a call later. Hope she answers. all right, so I'll give my friend Mike Podias a call. Mike was in my grade in college. Met him in college. He was in SGA with me. And he's actually still there because He changed his major, so he's a super senior there now. So maybe I'll talk to him about how he's managing to be still at Quinnipiac when it's obviously very different. Maybe I'll see where he's at and what he's doing. All right. Here he is. I'm going to give him a call.
Yo.
What's up, man?
Nothing much. How are you?
Good. How are you? You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, cool. So you're an RA. You're an RA. Where are you? Where are you an RA?
Like, I'm an RA billing? In Village right now.
Wow.
Living like bumfuck. I'm like the farthest village. I'm like all the way on the other side, like the last side of Hilltop.
Oh yeah. Is that bringing you back, or do you just how is it? Just I would just nostalgia would just overcome me, and I wouldn't be able to handle the fact that I'm living on that campus and I'm not a student.
It's really weird. Like it's weird. It's just weird being on main campus for my last semester. It's like the fitting end to a television show that you didn't expect. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
It's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah. Wait. So it's your last semester. You're not in grad school.
No. Because sophomore year I switched to engineering, and I took on the fifth year.
How's that been, being a super senior and not, in general, how's it been? It's not the same, you know?
No, it's different than being like a regular senior, but I mean, it's good. I would definitely say it's good. I'm enjoying my time.
Yeah. Are you ready to be done? Are you ready to be out there in the real world?
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing about a fifth year. Like, it's like sometimes, when 4 years are up, you're like, oh, I wish I had another year. But like having had that other year, like I know that I'm ready to go now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was ready to go last year, so I can only imagine. So what do you do with yourself besides work in RA? Do you like, there's still people up there, right? That are.
Yeah, there's still people here. I've kind of been seeing this girl, so that's kind of been taking up some time.
You're seeing a woman?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's nice to have a person there.
It is.
I guess I should figure that out soon.
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. Just literally, like, stuff like that. Like, let life just happen. Like, that's not even, like, a thing you should think about.
Yeah.
Because, like, this situation was so random, and it just happened, and it was like, oh, okay, cool, this is a thing.
How did it happen?
It literally, we didn't meet at Toads, but, like, we hooked up at Toads, and then, like, we, like hung out after that, and then, like, it just snowballed into, like, dust. So, like...
Wow.
Typical Quinnipiac romance.
Wow. Toads hookups never usually end up being a thing, but...
I know.
Congratulations, you overcame that.
Yeah, it's like a love story.
So what are you hoping for after? Are you moving back home? Are you,
So what? I just actually landed a full-time gig with Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company.
Yes, I'm aware of it from Love and Other Drugs, the movie.
Yes, yes. I'm gonna be at a PPAC. It's in like northern-ish Jersey. Do you know where that is?
What is it?
Like it's PPAC.
TPAC?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like kind of like bumfucky.
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
How far away from that, from the Jersey, where are you from in Jersey?
I'm from Manalapan, so like, I'm like an hour.
Oh, are you going to be able to commute? Are you going to commute?
Yeah, I'm going to be commuting for a little bit, and then hopefully they can transfer me to the city. That's where I want to be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a Pfizer corporate in the city. That's where I would like to be working, ideally.
So what are you going to be doing for them?
They have a business technology department, so that's kind of where I'll be.
Yeah, because engineering, I don't think pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. I specified in software. So like, I'm gonna be making like applications like that. Maybe like help a scientist like with their research and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I'll be doing.
Wow. Are you scared about the? How do you think you'll be able to handle the work life, the everyday, the monotonous?
That's the part that's horrifying me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, the, like, going to, like, work for the rest of my life now. Like, mm-hmm. I started June 20th, which is, like, a month after graduation, and it's horrifying because, like, you're so used to, like, living life in a way that's just, like, you go to school. Like, you have the school formula. Like, you go to school, and then you have time off, and you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, you have no real responsibility.
Exactly, yeah. Now I have to go to work every day so I can get a paycheck to, like, pay bills. Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm also excited to do that because, like, it's like being a real person. You know? Like, you always want to be a real person.
One day I'll be a real person.
Exactly, yeah.
How do you think, because you've been out on your own now for a while, how do you think you're going to do living home with the folks?
That's a big one. That's like, I don't know, man. Like, it's, like, I love my parents dearly. But, like, I'm so used to, like, especially, like, I lived alone last semester in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, like, I was living in a house, like, with my friends. Like, I'm not, like, used to being...
having someone to answer to?
Exactly. I'm not used to, like, having that. Like, having mm-hmm. those types of people, like, in my living space.
Yeah.
And especially at this point, in my life where I'm going to be, like, working.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want... It's weird because, like, I'm in a stage in my life where, like, I'm, like, the most, like, on paper, the most adult I've ever been, but now I'm moving back home where, like, I was raised.
Yeah.
Which is, like, weird.
Yeah, you get this... I had the same experience. You get this feeling of, like, oh, well, we're right back where we started.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, here we are again.
But even, like, though I experienced all those things and completely grew as a person, and now I'm back right here in the same bed.
I'm in the same setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd imagine it's like what Frodo feels like at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, God. That was a great trilogy. Have you watched the Hobbits? I haven't watched the Hobbits.
I have. The Hobbits are good. Not as good.
Yeah.
Definitely not as good. I saw Deadpool today. I was very thoroughly impressed by that.
Really? My friend Stav and our friend Zach just saw it, and I wasn't going because I've been doing these phone interviews, but I've been wanting to see it. I hear it's really good. I heard finally Ryan Reynolds found his calling. Perfect role for him.
This is the perfect, like, he's perfect for this role. And the movie is so cool because it just does not take itself seriously for one iota of a second.
Yeah, I heard it's very meta, very self-referential.
It's so meta, and I love it so much.
I heard Deadpool even, like, makes references to the actor Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, he does. Like, he's like, because at one point his face gets fucked up, and he just, like, and then people, like, try to tell him, like, oh, being good looking doesn't matter. And then he's like, are you kidding me? Ryan Reynolds wouldn't have a career if you weren't good looking. I was beside myself laughing.
Yeah, there's something I heard. TJ Miller, he was in the movie too. He played, like, his friend.
Yeah, he was the friend.
I heard in an interview that, like, it really that this role really befit Ryan Reynolds because he is genuinely funny, but sometimes people don't respond well to good-looking people who are funny. They're like, you have nothing to... You shouldn't be funny.
It's like, oh, fuck you. Like, why are you funny? I don't want to laugh at you. Like,
so they said this was good. He said this was good for him because his face is covered the majority of the time, and then when it isn't, it's all, like, messed up.
It's perfect. Yeah. That's actually true, probably, because it's like Ryan Reynolds, like, did something, like, even the proposal, like, they didn't really let him be funny.
Yeah.
Like, because Sandra Bullock needed to be funny because she's Sandra Bullock. Ryan Reynolds just kind of needed to be there.
Yeah. But anyway, so I thank you for doing this. I want to have you back on. I want to have you on for a real one. I'm going to come up to Quinnipiac soon. I'm going to, like, hopefully do, like, 10 interviews in a weekend.
Yeah.
And maybe
absolutely.
We can...
No, I'd love to.
We could talk about some Star Wars theories.
Oh, yeah, I've got plenty, don't worry.
How great was that?
That was so great. I enjoyed that. Like, I saw that, like, the first time I saw that movie, I've seen it four times.
Yeah.
You saw it four times? I've seen it four times.
Oh, my God. I haven't even seen it twice.
I have not seen a movie that many times in theaters since I was, like, a child. It was amazing.
I saw Inception four times.
What'd you see? Inception?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Inception, I think, three times. Inception was fantastic. You know, I saw Inception three times because I wanted to figure out the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it was.
Yeah.
But, like, at the first time that I saw that, like, it was, like, a religious experience. It was the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. Like, every single one of my emotional sensors was taps. Like, I was level. Like, I've never been that emotionally compromised from watching a movie. Like, at any given point, too. It wasn't even, like, the sad parts. Like, the whole movie, I was, like, on the edge of my seat the entire time. It was great.
J.J. Abrams knocked it out of the park.
God, I love that man.
As did you in this conversation, my friend. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it, and I'll let you know when I'm coming up, and we can talk soon.
Absolutely, I look forward to it.
All right, buddy. Thanks a bunch. All right. Peace, buddy.
Have a good night.
All right, that was Mike Padias. It's always great to talk to him. I'm glad to hear he's doing well in his fifth year at Quinnipiac, and he's finding some romance, and he's finding some assurance that he is ready for the next stage of his life. It's always great to talk to him, and another fellow lover of movies. So thanks a lot, Mike. Next, I will be trying to call my friend Tammy Nguyen, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm an ignorant person for not necessarily knowing. She's at Quinnipiac now for grad school. She's a physical therapy major, I think, or some OT or PT or one of the T's. I'm a terrible friend. Maybe I should call her and find out. But, she was the sweetheart for 2 years for our fraternity, and her personality definitely befits the title. So let's give her a call and see how she's doing.
Hello.
Hey, Tam.
What's up? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You were just in the library?
Yes. Sunday's fun day.
How long were you in the library today for?
Not that long. I should have been there longer, but it's all right. I've only been there for like 5 hours.
5 hours?
Yeah.
That's longer than I spent in all of my 4 years of Quinnipiac.
Yeah. No, that's an average. That's usually an average time.
Yeah, that's average. How stressful is grad school? You're PT, right? Are you killing yourself? Do you really have no life?
No, I don't have a life Monday through Friday, but then on the weekends I just go out with a bang and then reset the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many hours per day do you have class each week?
It fluctuates, but usually 3 to 5 hours a day.
Oh, that's not terrible. I thought it was like 9 a.m. to like 9 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, this semester we lucked out. We had, like, the first semester of classes, we had a lot more classes and stuff. And right now we also have, like, on online classes. You have to do that on your own time.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of sucks. Yeah, so we take, like, full 6 courses, whatever, and then an online class, and then we have capstone, too, so... There's a lot of, like, extra hours outside of class, but...
That's good.
It is fine.
So how have you generally been doing with, like, the not same as undergrad life with the change? What is the biggest difference? Just the people not being there?
I think it's easier that the people aren't there. Our senior year, I started grad school already, and, you know, that was a really big change of pace because not only was I entering grad school, like everyone else was trying to make their mark on senior year. So keeping up and balancing that between school, social life, and work was definitely tougher in the beginning, and a lot of sleepless nights, but, I mean, it was all worth it. I mean, I had a great time, and I was still able to work and do my job for school and stuff.
Well, yeah, because you were 3 plus 3, right? The 3.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty positive that if anyone can do it, you can.
Thanks.
You texted me the other day and made me feel better about my current situation of the unknown, and you told me to make sure I reach out and talk to people and keep you in the loop. You're someone who has a lot of friends and is extremely busy. How do you do it?
you just start to realize who's important to you, and you got to keep those close contacts. Obviously, we all made a lot of relationships in college, but as we graduate now, more than ever, I think you start to see television, you start to account for, okay, who's going to stay in my life and who's going to be just kind of a person who's nice to run into, and making those efforts to see the people that you want to keep in your life is really important.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'll make sure that I make more of an effort to keep you in my life because you're a good one, Tam.
We love you too, Joe. But really, don't stress about it. I mean, we're still young in the scheme of life and everything, so this is your window of opportunity to kind of do and try whatever you want before you really have to kind of settle down and do the 40-hour, 60-hour work week.
I don't want to ever settle down for that. Only if I have to, I guess.
Right.
Well, but, Tam, thanks a lot. I appreciate you talking to me, even though it was quick. Good luck with
always.
The rest. I'm coming up to QU soon, hopefully some weekend. Would you want to come on the podcast for like a whole one? Would you be interested in that?
If it helps you out, then absolutely.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you.
All right. Have a good one, Jeff.
Bye. That was Tammy. Good old Tammy. An angel from the heavens above. That was very helpful for me. Thanks a lot, Tam. Appreciate it. All right, now I'm gonna give my friend John Muzzy a call. He has been out of college for 2 years and change now, coming up on 3. And haven't talked to him in a while. He lives up in Maine. He was in my fraternity in college, and he was in the choir with me. He has a very good voice, very good singing voice. Not that he'll be featuring that, I don't think, but yeah, let's give him a call.
Hello?
What's up, man?
Hey, Joe, what's up, buddy?
It's good to hear your luscious voice.
Right back at you.
How you doing?
Been great.
Yeah.
Back from a trip to the QU.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, how was that? Were you overcome with feelings of nostalgia?
I was overcome with feeling like super old and out of place.
Yeah, when you go back to that campus at the current state that or place that you're at now, what usually goes through your mind?
Well, so it's been 2.5 years since I was there.
Yeah.
So the last time I was there, I was freshly graduated. It was my first alumni weekend, and I still knew so many people. I mean, like you and Stavi and those guys were all still there, obviously.
Yeah, you stayed at my place.
Oh, that's right. That one night. That's right.
Yeah.
Good times.
We talked about the Freemasons.
Yeah. And now, this time, it was totally different. I mean, I know a couple of the freshmen from recruitment stuff. They're all grown now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And, I'm so settled in, well, pretty darn settled in my life right now that going back there, it's like, I don't belong here at all.
Yeah.
But then I walked into 4050 and smelled that basement, and then those memories came back in a flash.
Yeah, 4050 is a house at our college that usually members of our fraternity lived in. Yeah, that's the sensory memory coming back at you.
Yeah, it's stale beer. I think it doesn't matter. That could be a smell that's been there for 9 years. It's just never going to go away.
Yeah, no, that's there forever for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're almost 3 years out of college now. Overall, what has been the trajectory of how you've emotionally managed real life?
It's been a whirlwind, man. I've moved all over. I mean, I've lived in like a few different places. I mean, I lived in Boston right out of school. That wasn't the right fit, so I left.
Why wasn't it right?
I live work for a PR agency right in the heart of the city, and it was great and everything. It just wasn't the vibe for me.
Yeah.
I'm a Mainer originally. I mean, yeah, as you know, I'm from northern Maine.
Yeah.
So I went back to northern Maine.
Yeah.
And I realized that wasn't the right fit anymore either. It was so small. I just felt so far away from everything. And I found a new job, and I completely uprooted this. I set up a nice little life for myself. I had a nice condo and all this crap, and but I just didn't like it, so I uprooted my life again and moved down to Portland, Maine.
Oh yeah,
and
that's more south.
And that was a lot more fun. It's great down here. And then, actually, Joe, you don't even know this, but in December of this year, due to like a client we lost because it was an advertising agency, myself and like nine other kids, people, I don't want to say kids, but like in the grand scheme, we're all still kids.
Yeah,
we were all laid off.
No way.
So I had like left my job. I left everything for this job, pretty much. Not that I'm got kids and all this stuff. It wasn't crazy, but I had left this little life I set up for this new job, and a year later, I lost it. I got laid off.
Damn.
But now, anybody who's listening to this, this is not what I'm not. Luckily for me, I'm an outlier here. But I was hired 3 weeks later for a new job.
Wow,
that's not going to happen
for everyone. Yeah,
yeah, that's really lucky. I mean, I knew the right people.
Yeah.
And, now I work for the Red Sox AA baseball team, the Portland Sea Dogs.
No way.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a very cool job.
What do you do?
I sell sponsorships. So,
oh, wow.
You know, if you come to the game and you see, like, signs out in the outfield, or you're listening to the game on the radio, or anything like that, any of the people who sponsor the team, partner with the team, I'm the person I'm one of the people working with those companies to sell sponsorships.
Well, I mean, like, so. I guess it's cool that it's the Red Sox. It'd probably be better if it was another team, but...
Actually, it's the coolest because it's the Red Sox. So.
Yeah, it's cool. You get to see all the up-and-comers.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I mean, it's weird because it's work now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The players are almost like workers, you know, because they're there for a job, and I'm there for a job. Like, during the games, I have my own things that I need to accomplish, so I'm no longer there in the capacity of a fan. I'm now, you know, I'm not even watching a lot of the game. I'm doing, you know, God knows why. It's minor league baseball. So the example I always give people is, for instance, if it's raining and the tarp needs to get rolled on the field,
yeah,
I'm out there helping roll the tarp.
Damn,
because we don't have a ground screw. You know,
wow, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, we have a small one, but yeah, we need bodies to roll a tarp.
So for the foreseeable future, you'll be there and. You're liking it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. I love it. Looking back at the 3 years since college, it's like how much I've moved and how many different things. I mean, it's hard to ever feel settled, you know, because you just never know when. The layoff thing, for instance, was incredibly humbling, and it just reminds you that, like, you're so vulnerable. You know, there is no safety net. I mean, there is no, like, it's not like a class, like you fail a class, you can take it again or whatever. Like, there's a finality there to being laid off, and all of a sudden you're faced with real, real problems. Like, shoot, do I have to file for unemployment? Am I going to be able to pay the rent? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are real issues that, like, you know, it's hard to comprehend those things as a college student, and then quickly you have to be an adult
yeah.
to be able to do those things. I mean, it's because I'm not a whole lot different. I don't know a lot more than I knew 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to adapt, and that's how you learn those things, you
yeah.
know?
When life kicks you in the ass.
Exactly. So, I mean, while it was incredibly humbling, I mean, I look at it now, and I love my new situation, and it's just, you know, I think it might have been a little blessing in disguise, so.
Well, Muzz, I'm glad everything's working out. I'm glad everything's good now. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for talking to me. Hopefully we can cross paths soon. And I could see you again, and we could do this for real if you'd be interested.
Oh, I'd love to sit down. I don't know how much the QU was the furthest south I've been in quite some time, but
yeah,
it just reminded me I gotta to leave Maine every now and then.
Yeah, maybe we can meet in the middle.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks
for
doing this.
Well, thanks, bud. It was a pleasure being on.
Yeah,
I love the show. I keep producing some good stuff. I love hearing some of our old friends, too, whenever they make it on.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I love doing it. For that reason that I get to talk to them.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you.
All right, man. Thanks. Good talking to you.
Peace.
Bye.
All right. That was John Muzzy. Enjoyed talking to him. Haven't talked to him in a while. It's hard. You know, this is hard. He lives up in Maine. When am I going to see him? I got to call people more on the phone. Just talk to them. For not the podcast. Thank you, Muzzy, for for coming on. I'm going to try Hannah again. See if she's free. Talk about nurse stuff.
Look at me answering on the first ring.
Oh my God. Getting you on the phone is like trying to get the president on the phone.
I'm sorry. I suck so bad.
You don't suck. You're awesome.
What can you do?
How was work?
It was really dramatic, actually. One of my patients had a 6-second pause, which means the heart didn't beat for 6 seconds, which is not really a great thing.
No, yeah, no. Did she come back from that?
Yeah, she did, but she was in rough shape for a little while.
Wow, I'm sure that's compelling. Is that a weird thing? Like when you're a nurse, you're like, this sucks for this person, but like, this is kind of why I do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I'm always thankful it's not me.
Yeah.
Sure.
But work's been better. Didn't you say at first that it was hard? Why was it hard?
No, it wasn't hard. It's just a weird transition, I think.
Yeah. Why is that?
I have people. Well, I'm 22 years old and people rely on me for their life.
Yeah.
With doctor's orders too, but hey.
So you live in Cape Cod. How is that?
It's quiet in the winter.
Yeah.
But
do you miss people?
I very much miss people, but I got 3 chickens yesterday.
You got chickens? Yeah, I saw that. Why are you getting chickens?
We got 3. We're getting 5 more next week.
Yeah.
So they lay eggs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then you sell the eggs?
Maybe. They typically lay an egg a day. And if we have 8, that's 8 eggs a day, which is a lot of eggs in a week.
Oh, and then you can eat them or do whatever you please with them?
Yeah. My mom's been baking cookies for a market, so she'll probably use them for her baking as well.
Oh, yeah, that's useful. Yeah. Isn't there, like, a law you can only have a certain amount of chickens per acre? I think that's a thing here in Jersey.
Yeah, it is. But so, my dad recently acquired a cranberry bog.
A what?
So, a cranberry bog.
What is that?
You know where cranberries grow?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
A bog.
What is a bog, like B-O-G?
D-O-G, cranberry bog. That's where cranberries are grown.
Oh, I've never heard that word. You're going to have to school me.
Yeah. So now we have
cranberries and chickens. That's a cool combination.
You can have more chickens because of the cranberry bog, is what I'm saying. Yeah. And because it's technically farm. So, anyway.
Do you want to tell, have there been any other interesting stories, any other crazy things that have happened in the... Are you working in the ER?
No, I work on a cardiac ICU step-down unit.
Cardiac ICU?
Yep.
That's intensive care unit?
Intensive care unit.
That, I'm sure, so, can get crazy. Has there been anything else crazy that's happened?
Yeah, we had... I mean, any patient that codes is crazy situation.
Yeah.
But we've had a couple not-so-great situations where all of our patients are acute MI, so if they had a heart attack, or they're CHS, so they have heart failure, so their bodies are in rough shape, or pre- and post-open-heart patients, open-heart surgery.
Does that get to you? Do you the degradation of humans, the just seeing people? Do you take that home with you ever?
No, actually, I'm surprised how much I don't.
Yeah.
I never realized how much of a role I actually play in the, because I figured I'd be a nurse and then maybe go on and be a nurse practitioner so that I could do better and do more and have more say for my patient. But in my 6 months now that I've been an RN, I've definitely made more, like, people talk to you about, like, their end of their life. I had a guy who was on comfort measures only, so he came to the hospital, like, pretty healthy, and he had respiratory disease where his lungs basically just stopped working.
Jesus.
And so I was there for his last night that he was alive.
Oh, my God.
Kind of weird, but I don't know. It's awesome. It's all family.
Yeah.
People appreciate when you actually care, and I tend to care a lot there, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see you soon.
Yeah.
Are you going to Quinnipiac? Is there another alumni weekend? I think there is. Is that a thing? Do we go to that?
I don't know. I'm working.
Yeah.
March 17th, right? St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Oh, is that when it is?
Yeah. I'm working.
Well, I miss you, and you're one of the few people that I actively try to keep in touch with, and you're not good at it, so.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not.
I'm not either.
My apologies.
It's okay. I'm only good at keeping contact with people when it's serving my own self-interest, like wanting you to do this.
Yeah, it's the first time you've called me in like 9 months, actually.
Yeah, but I always text you first.
What can you do?
Yeah. All right, March, Hannah. I appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
I don't even know if I did anything for you, but...
You did. You did. You very much so helped me a lot. This is 8 minutes now that I can utilize.
What are you going to do with it? Are you still recording?
Yeah, I'm still recording. I'm doing like a medley of like different phone conversations with people. I have Podias.
Are you going to ask them all the same question? Well, no, because I talked about all nursing stuff and I'll have them do that.
Yeah, we have a little, you know, it... The conversation befits the person, you know?
Hmm. That's cliche.
Yeah. But thank you. Bye. Have fun at work.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
Hopefully you don't see anyone die.
Knock on wood.
All right. See you, kid.
Bye.
Bye. How about I call a guest we've had on the podcast before, Charlie Doe. I miss that red-headed, beautiful man.
Hey, man.
Hey, Chuck.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. Just hanging out.
We're going to use...
A nice,
what?
Nice lazy Sunday.
Yeah. I'm gonna use you at the end because I'm actually good on time, to be honest. In your when you said that you might not make it, I actually found some other people, but I've obviously still love to have you on to talk for a few minutes.
I like it. I like the
hustle.
I like the hustle, then.
Yeah, I talked to Tammy, and to Muzzy, and to Hannah, and Podias.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to talk to Muzzy.
Oh, God, what have you been doing? Why have you been so busy?
Well, just this weekend, I mean, it was Ev's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone went out Friday and hung or whatever, and then we housed Davey, Tammy, Patria, Sal, like Nickin. So we had like a ton of people all up in this place.
Wow.
And then we searched all of Hamden for public basketball areas, which was a harder journey than one would think.
You can't play at Quinnipiac?
We tried, but there was like a baseball showcase, so we couldn't get a space.
Baseball showcase.
So finally, we ended up at like the Hamden Public Park.
That could be. Yeah. Was it frightening? Was it nice?
It was a combination of both.
Mm.
Like, we saw a 16-year-old with a full sleeve tattoo.
Wow. Did you assume he was 15, or did you ask him?
No, he looked 15.
Yeah, he looked young.
Yeah, I mean, did that in the motel. We got back, got dinner with Tam.
Yeah.
Some Tam time. She's been busy.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to have some Tam time.
Yeah.
But so when I talked to you, when I talked to you on the podcast last time, you had good things to say about the post-college life and said that it isn't the cold and lonely place that you thought it was going to be, and that people at your work challenged you intellectually and that you enjoyed their company. Do you still have similar feelings about real life, or have you found it now to be...
Yeah, it's good. Life is good. Life is. How long has it been since I was on the first time? When was it? When were we?
That was had to be October, because I started in September and you were the fourth guest. So that was October.
Yeah, wow, that's a lot. It seems much closer than it was.
It was only a few months.
Yeah, man, things are still good. For sure. Still at the same company, which is cool. Got promoted, which is tight.
You so did
up a little bit and. Yeah, well, that really promoted us. Moved to a different department.
Did you get a pay bump?
We don't discuss our personal finances, Joe, of course.
All right.
Development, always pass the salt and pepper together. Never discuss religion and finances at the dinner table.
Yeah.
All those things.
Politics. I've been talking about politics at the dinner table a little because I'm scared. Do you... Do you pay attention to these debates? Are you paying?
Oh yeah. I don't think you haven't had Rob on the podcast, have you?
No, I'm gonna though, probably.
Well, Rob and I spend, I would say, the majority of our time in the house just chirping each other about just harsh generalities of our general political views, which is funny.
Can you give me a summary of something he would say and something you would say?
Well, Rob's hardcore conservative.
Ugh.
And I'm very, very socially liberal with like a more idealistic view of things.
Mm-hmm.
So Rob also just loves it's the same general economic argument back and forth where, you know, liberal policies are expensive for taxpayers, so that's an easy target is, oh, well, that's great. You know, free money's awesome. We'll just print more, and then everybody can go to school for free, and everybody gets a bike when they turn 10, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, you know, you have the same criticism of conservative policies. So it's saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's great to look out for yourself. I hope you never come across a hardship because no one will help you. So Rob's a big fan of finding, like, a really, really biased conservative article and then running downstairs and just altering its content and what he'll tell me about.
Yeah.
he'll find like an article about Bernie Sanders talking about something he did in 1980 and come down yelling that he's a silly socialist and he's gonna sell all of our secrets to Syria so that we can have free college and all that.
Oh, my God. Forth.
It's good, we chirp each other because it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's good. It helps to get a nice worldview of things. And I definitely learned a ton from understanding someone who's incredibly right-wing. Which is nice.
Very far over there. Did he bring up how Bernie got arrested?
What was that?
I just heard something about how there was like video of Bernie getting arrested at some civil rights march or something. Did you see that?
I don't know.
It was like in the 60s or 70s.
That sounds like something you would do.
Yeah.
Crazy old man.
Well, all right, Chuck. I appreciate you coming back on. I'm going to come up to Quinnipiac soon to bang out some interviews. Can I stay on your couch?
Yeah, of course. I only get 6 minutes of airtime.
Well, you're actually at 7, but I told you it would be... I only need you for a few now because we have some people. I don't want to make the episodes too long.
I don't want to take away from the masses. Okay, well, maybe off the record, we'll catch up. We'll talk life. We'll see what's up with Joe Cole's life.
I'm doing good, man. World. I'm bouncing back from a little bit of a state of just being like, fuck everything. I'm good now. I'm having some meetings.
Yeah, that state's called 23.
Yeah, I'm not even 23 yet.
Yeah, what are you up to?
I'm taking classes at UCB in the city, and I'm actually meeting with like a talent agent.
And you're doing acting school stuff, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm meeting with a talent agency this week. I've had a meeting with them already, and it looks like I might be working with them to start trying to go on some auditions after, like, trying to fucking do this forever. So it looks like there's a bright side on the other end.
Play auditions, like,
no,
the extra.
So, like, he said
low budget.
Yeah.
Netflix TV, like, what are we looking at?
He said to me, I kind of went to the first meeting, kind of trying to figure out if it was going to be a thing or if they were just, like, checking me out, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you don't have any professional experience. I was like, yeah, I'm very green, but I'm passionate. He was like, yeah, well, I mean, you got to start somewhere, so I guess we'll start you on, like, one-liners and TV and film. And I was like, oh, yes, I would be down to do that for sure. I was thinking he was going to, like, do commercials and stuff, but, I mean, I'd do anything. I don't care.
Yeah. Hey, whatever gets you do when you want to do, man.
Yeah.
Whatever gets you do when you want to do. How's your day-to-day when you're not taking classes and soliciting auditions? What are you doing?
Well, I still work at a pizzeria, unfortunately, just to make cash, and that's not fun, but other than that, just trying to learn as many things as possible and broaden my mind, constantly listening to podcasts. I started to reread Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, I hate Catcher in the Rye. That's a depressing book.
Yes, but I think I relate with the plight of Holden Caulfield.
No, Holden Caulfield's such an overrated literary character, in my opinion. I think he has nothing. He just whines and sits around all day. All
right. Well, maybe as a 22-year-old, I'll have a different perspective of it than I did as a 16-year-old.
I hated it so much as a 19-year-old that I never reread it.
What should I read instead? Give me something to read.
Do you want a book about, you know, discovering your purpose and chasing after the things you want?
See,
is that what you're getting with Catcher in the Rye? Is the adventure of life and arriving at your final destination?
Yeah. To be honest, Klutz sent me this book about, like, how to master your creative mind, and it was, like, one of those things where, like, I didn't want to read it because I was afraid it was going to be telling me everything I was doing wrong, and I wouldn't be able to confront that.
You got what you're doing wrong. It's important. Read Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's got a ton of Buddhist influence, but it's not a book about religion. It's a book about self-discovery, but it's much, much better than Catcher in the Rye, in my humble opinion.
Okay, well, I appreciate your humble opinion.
And it's the same reading level I'm like. I actually read the two of them back to back in good class back in the day.
It's the same what? The same reading what?
It's like the same reading level, reading style. It moves quickly. It's generally short. I read them in an English class back to back in the past.
All right, man. Well, you're
I won't keep you up, but hit me up whenever, and let me know when you're in the area, or I'll let you know when I'm driving through your great, lame, traffic-filled, don't pump your own gas state.
Are you going to be in Jersey?
Probably not anytime soon.
Yeah.
But hey, you never know, they'll make a trip to the city or something.
All right, cool, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you. Love you.
Oh, yeah. Hit me up, man. Take care. Be well. Good luck with all your stuff.
Yep. You too.
Tell that I said that that's butter.
What is the saying you say? Because I think I said that I think I
didn't say it. He told me a story about it sometime, and I just repeated it.
My brother Ben said something about like butter.
Yeah, he said some kid told him, like, his shoes were like butter. I was like, all right, that's my thing now every time I see you. Once a year.
Oh my god. Alright, yeah, I'll tell him you said that. He loves Chuck Doe.
And toss the parents some well wishes.
They love Chuck Doe as well.
Hey, well, the Doe fam, the Doe clan is a big Joe Cole supporter. All with their t-shirts.
Yeah. Do you still wear that?
They do, all the time.
Yeah, same. And I just cry. All right, buddy, I'll talk to you.
All right, take care, my man. Have a good one.
Peace. Okay, that is it. That is our millennial phone call medley. Thank you to Saad and Brielle, and Greg Hayes, and Mike Podias, and Tammy Nguyen, and John Muzzy, and, who else was there? Hannah Russell, and, Charlie Doe. Did I say Mike Podias? I think I did. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to everyone who's listened. We will have another episode next week. I appreciate you listening. Back with probably one guest. This was fun to do, to call up everyone. We hit all the bases. People just out of college, someone 2 years out of college, someone two and change, 3 years out of college, a senior in college, someone who's a super senior, someone who's in grad school. We covered it all. All right? I'm glad we did it. Thank you to everyone, and have a good week. Enjoy the Oscars. Go Leo.